Air. WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News Now, I'm Derek Dennis. In New York City, former Marine Daniel Penny pleaded not guilty to charges related to the subway choking death of Jordan Neely last month. A grand jury indicted Penny with second-degree manslaughter and negligent homicide. Defense attorney Thomas Kenneth says his client was defending passengers after Neely reportedly acted aggressively towards subway riders.
All the evidence is that we've seen is that our client acted reasonably under the circumstances, and that he was justified in the actions he took, however unfortunate the consequences.
Neely's family says he suffered from mental illness. President Biden heading to Chicago to tout his policies are helping with the economic recovery, especially the middle class and job growth, something the White House is calling Bidenomics. Severe storms moving across parts of the South and Upper Plains today with another threat of tornadoes and hail. Heavy smoke from the Canadian wildfires still a concern in the Midwest and Northeast. Chicago has the worst air quality in the world today. This is ABC News. A new warning about rip currents after former NFL quarterback Ryan Mallett drowned at a Florida beach. His death is the latest in a troubling increase in deaths along the Florida coast. Kevin Spacey in a London courtroom facing allegations of sexual assault.
Morning, Mr. Spacey!
The two-time Oscar winner smiled and waved while the cameras clicked as he walked into a London courtroom to face trial on charges of assaulting four men. 63-year-old then pleaded not guilty to a dozen charges in all, including sexual assault, indecent assault, and causing a person to engage in sex activity without consent. The charges involving men now in their 30s or 40s date from when he lived in Britain and served as artistic director of the Old Vic Theatre. Opening statements are scheduled for Friday. Tom Rivers, ABC News, London.
Instagram and Facebook Messenger now have more parental control tools. Parents will be able to supervise their kids on the apps, but won't be able to see messages they're sending. I'm Derek Dennis, ABC News.
Have you Googled yourself lately? Are there negative posts from an ex-employee or from a former client? Maybe an outdated news article or sensitive personal information about your family? Search engines don't always get it right. But right or wrong, it's your reputation on the line. That's where Reputation Defender by Norton comes in. One of the most trusted names in online reputation repair. Reputation Defender has been fixing people's search results for over 15 years. Their cutting-edge approaches help you to wipe away unwanted information in your search results. They also promote the good stuff, so that it rises to the top, helping you put your best foot forward. Your good name is too valuable to leave to the whims of a Google algorithm. Take control with Reputation Defender. You can start by getting your free reputation report card at reputationdefender.com or call 800-401-6681 to speak to an expert. That's 800-401-6681.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. The air all over Wisconsin should actually start to get better this afternoon, and this thick blanket of smoke should be gone altogether by Friday. That's according to the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. But how long will that last? Ron Schneider is a DNR fire specialist. He says the Canadian wildfires could burn all summer.
They have many fires, hundreds of fires, burning in the northern parts of their provinces. And a lot of these fires that are burning are in areas where they can't extinguish the fires, because they're in such remote areas, or they just don't have the staff.
Firefighters from Mexico, Italy, and France are helping the Canadians, but Schneider says the wildfire danger here is so high that Wisconsin crews need to stay put. The state budget battle moves to the Wisconsin Senate today. Pete Schwabe has a preview.
It's looking more and more unlikely that the final version of the budget will be passed on time. Republican leaders of both houses tell the Associated Press they don't plan to make any big changes to the version of the budget that passed the Joint Finance Committee last week. It cuts $7 billion from Governor Evers' original draft. That's the same amount as the state's record surplus. Cuts include $32 million to defund diversity offices on University of Wisconsin campuses. Governor Tony Evers has said he'll veto the entire budget if the cut stays in. The fiscal year is over at the end of the day Friday. Pete Schwabe, Civic Media News.
The head of Wisconsin's elections agency says she's focused on getting clerks around the state ready for next year's elections. Last night, members of the State Elections Commission deadlocked on reappointing her. That means Republican senators won't get a chance to deny her reappointment, but it will likely throw the matter to the courts. Commission Chairman Don Millis says he's worried.
Her position could be in jeopardy on a moment's notice. And I don't think that's good for the staff. I don't think it's good for the administration of elections in Wisconsin.
The Wisconsin Supreme Court allowed Fred Prain to stay on the Natural Resources Board for months after his term expired. Commissioner Ann Jacobs says that sets the precedent which ought to keep Wolf on the job.
Someone's going to sue us. They're going to sue us. And that will, we'll see how that shakes out. But I feel very confident in our interpretation of the law.
Wolf's term technically expires at the end of the day Friday.
We are out of time. And if I'm being frank, you know, the commission's vote really should have happened months ago, but here we are. And so it remains that my number one guiding principle is ensuring that election officials in the state of Wisconsin have the stability that they need.
Republicans who think Donald Trump won the last election are critical of her work. Others say she's one of the best at her job. That includes election officials and clerks from all over the country. New research shows creative activities can be a literal lifesaver for young people experiencing loneliness, anxiety, or depression. As Kathleen Kiley reports, the same goes for kids in marginalized groups.
The Adobe Foundation and National Alliance on Mental Illness, or NAMI, found more than 60% of young people surveyed reported an improved sense of confidence through painting, writing, or any form of creative expression. NAMI's Frederick Miggins says improving access to creative activities could help turn the tide on a youth mental health crisis.
Creative expression is something that just about anyone can engage in person or online. This makes it one of the most accessible ways for people to invest in supporting their own mental well-being.
Megan says creative expression is not a substitute for professional mental health treatment, but rather an important tool in managing one's overall well-being and sense of purpose. I'm Catherine Carley reporting.
And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The DNR says the air quality is the worst we've had in Wisconsin in over a decade. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality is this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. It's been rare this summer, but there's a chance of severe weather today here in western Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Northwest Wisconsin is in a slight risk for severe weather, centered on the St. Croix Valley, Eau Claire, and Chippewa Falls. This zone extends from Polk to southern Sawyer and into Price counties, and as far south into Jackson and Buffalo counties. Isolated and strong storms will fire up after 4 p.m. and move eastward this evening, packing large hail as the main threat. However, damaging winds and a tornado or two are also possible. Be sure to stay weather savvy tonight. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
Brittany will have more details coming up in our weather forecast. The Washburn County Sheriff's Office said that a man is in custody after leading deputies on a high-speed chase earlier this week, which spanned 2 days and two counties. On Sunday night, deputies tried to stop a vehicle for speeding, but the driver took off, reaching speeds of over 100 miles per hour. The driver eventually went through a campground and then got away on a private road. On Monday morning, the vehicle was found and the driver again attempted to flee. Deputies shot out the tires and the man driving the vehicle then ran into the woods in Burnett County. He was later found. One deputy was hurt during the chase. The man is in custody at the Washburn County Jail. Last night, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge, which is nearly a century old. The project would cost an estimated $14.2 million, which would be split between state and local governments, with about $3.8 million coming from the city of Eau Claire. The old bridge will be in use until 2026. Our weather forecast comes your way next. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. We remain under hazy, smoke-filled skies as winds begin to shift out of the south. It's pulling the potent haze back northwards a bit, with unhealthy to very unhealthy conditions expected to linger. The air quality alert remains in effect for the entire state until tomorrow at noon. As the thickest of the smoke begins to exit, a severe weather risk pushes in. Scattered showers and a few rumbles of thunder move across the state this afternoon, with the worst of it to strike up in northwest Wisconsin after 6 p.m. The Storm Prediction Center has issued a slight risk for the St. Croix Valley, into Eau Claire, and as far east as Wausau, and down south towards La Crosse. As the cold front smacks into the slight risk areas, it will bring storms packing large hail as the main threat, with some wind damage and a tornado or two possible. The rest of the state sits under a marginal risk for strong winds, hail, and heavy downpours, bringing nearly an inch of rain rapidly. Have a wonderful Wednesday. Breathe easy and stay weather savvy, Wisconsin. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Packers signed their first-round draft pick.
Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers selected Lucas Van Ness with the 13th overall pick in the NFL draft. Van Ness has now signed his deal with the team. 4 years, an estimated $17.4 million, a signing bonus of $9.7 million. Van Ness is 6'5", 272 pounds. I asked him during minicamp, what kind of player are the Packers getting?
You know, at Iowa, we are very power-oriented. I've always had a lot of power in my game. I feel like that's the way I dominate. I spent the last 3 months out in California with Coach Ed, you know, worked with a bunch of, great NFL players. Khalil Mack was out there. I was with Kenny Clark was out there. So just working on, you know, a whole tool bag of different moves. Work on as much as possible.
Van Ness is the sixth player the Packers have drafted out of Iowa the past 20 years. What do they see in the Hawkeyes program? GM Brian Gutekunst.
They have a really solid program. You know, Coach Ferentz is a great job out there. Those guys learn how to work. They got to earn it there, which is something that is important.
Gutekunst now has just two unsigned draft picks left out of 13. Tight end Luke Musgrave and receiver Jaden Reed. Training camp begins in less than 4 weeks. Baseball, the Brewers losing to the Mets last night 7-2. Home runs for New York's Francisco Lindor, former Brewer Daniel Vogelbach. The Mets' Brandon Nimmo slugged a pair of home runs off Julio Teheran.
Was able to get him over the plate twice, you know, to be able to do some damage on him. So thought we did a really good job because it seems like nobody else has really touched him up yet.
Brewers manager Craig Counsell.
You know, it was on four different pitches, you know, three different pitches. It was a changeup, it was a cutter, it was a fastball, and they took some good swings on him.
Teheran spoke to reporters after the loss.
One bad game doesn't mean that I need to change. The way that I've been pitching, I feel that it's been good.
The Mets starter, Daniel Peterson, held the crew through six scoreless innings and got the win.
The slider came along as the game went on, and with using the other pitches, made that pitch better later in the game. So yeah, I felt good mechanically, and it's great to go out there and get through six, and it's even better that we put a bunch of runs on the board and get a team win.
So now the Brewers slip back into second place, a half game behind the Reds. Game three of the four-game series against the Mets tonight at 6:10. Cleveland Guardian manager Tony Francona left the ballpark early and was hospitalized with tests overnight. The 64-year-old Francona has had heart problems in the past. Golf, it's the 43rd U.S. Seniors Open tomorrow in Stevens Point. Golfers like Davis Love III and Wisconsin's Steve Stricker and Jerry Kelly to compete at Century World Golf Course with its famous flower hole on 16, 40,000 flowers surrounding the green. Kelly on how the course looks.
This is like such a classic example. Midwest parkland, just we know how to grow grass up here, and it's tall right now. It's going to be a test. They can stretch this thing as long as they have to for us, but it could test just about anybody out there right now.
That's Madison golfer Jerry Kelly with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Gary from Sussex. Hey, Gary.
Whose birthday is it? Is it both you guys' birthday or is it Dom's or Mike's?
It's my birthday today. Mike's was 2 days ago.
I'm going to sing a happy birthday, and I'm going to sing it the right way. Happy birthday to you, Mr. President of his radio station and his sidekick.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. Highs around 78. South winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Scattered thunderstorms likely tonight. Lows dip down to about 63. Cloudy skies expected. Sunshine mixed with clouds at times. Tomorrow, scattered thunderstorms likely. Highs level off around 85. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 79.
Welcome all. Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, brand new approach to homegrown radio, where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, please give us a call or shoot us a text at 844-967-2789. I am William Walter, Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution, and I'm joined today by Luke Mathers. Luke, what is up today?
How's it going, Will?
I'm alive, but I'm barely breathing.
Yeah, it's an interesting... The air quality is something else. I thought earlier this week was bad, and it has only gotten worse here across the state of Wisconsin. Milwaukee and the Chicagoland area now experience... Detroit, I believe, saw an article say roughly 80 million U.S. residents under the... poor air quality alert right now due to the Canadian wildfires. Saw something else that, at least for a period yesterday, Brookfield in Waukesha County having some of the worst air quality in the entire world yesterday because of the smoke. So yeah, it's definitely recommended to be inside. Don't drive around with those windows down if you're in the car. I've seen plenty of people still doing that. I'm like, what is going on right now? But glad to be with you here on the airwaves, Will.
They're looking for that smoky campfire smell that
I do like that smell, but not when you can't escape it. When it's just like everywhere, then it's not great. It seems a little bit more doomsday-y than gathering around a campfire.
Yeah, I was telling Luke and Aaron before the show, I took a picture last night of the sun around like 5 p.m.-ish. It was so hazy and smoky that I could have legitimately stared at the sun and faced no damage because it was blotting out half the sun. It quite literally looked like it was Mos Eisley or a scene from like Blade Runner 2049. It was incredibly dystopian, so much so that I was like, boy, I got to get a picture of this. This is wild.
Yeah.
At least it looks cool then.
It looked cool. I mean, I looks was coughing up a storm and my eyes were starting to get red and irritated. But, you know, other than the long-term health ramifications, it was a pretty serene moment.
Other than that, how was the play, Mrs. Lincoln? Is that what you're getting at? Yeah. Essentially, that's what we as a state and a country and globe are going through right now. But we're gonna talk. Let's give a quick update, Will, before yesterday's subject. We had a vote on, as we discussed with Matt Rothschild, the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, yesterday throughout the show. And if you missed any portion of that, you can check out the podcast. Head over to civicmedia.us, click on Town Call under the show page. And you can listen to that conversation with Matt. But we were discussing the vote that was coming before the Wisconsin Elections Commission. They deadlocked yesterday. 3-3 votes, so not going to be sent to the state Senate, but Megan Wolf's term still ending at the end of this Friday. So end of the day Friday, but due to a recent state Supreme Court decision, indefinitely going to be able to serve in that role until a successor is appointed and confirmed by the state Senate because of that Fred Prenn ruling. Surrounding
Fred Prenn ruling.
Yeah, the Fred Prenn coming back into the headlines with that. So that was the update from yesterday. There was a vote. It was a deadlock situation, and she is going to seemingly either serve indefinitely until the state Senate can confirm a nominee to serve as the next Wisconsin Elections Administrator, or until the legal battle surrounding her sitting into a position, even though the recent state Supreme Court ruling said that the end of a term, it does not create the vacancy. I have a feeling that may get challenged in court as well, Will. So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on what's going on with that. But we got a different question for the day today, Will.
And we will certainly be on top of the Wisconsin Election Commission rulings. If you're interested, stick around Town Call in the coming days and weeks, and we will be the first to get you that information. But today, I want to talk about a story from Up North News. Wisconsin getting $1 billion for high-speed internet expansion from Biden's infrastructure law. The piece notes that Wisconsin is slated to get $1.1 billion in federal funds to expand broadband or high-speed internet service to everyone in the state, part of a history-making announcement Monday by the Biden administration. So I would like to ask you, the listeners, what would high-speed broadband access mean to you? How would it change your life? Particularly in more rural communities, we know that access to high-speed internet can be questionable at best, inconsistent, and non-existent at worst. And we know, Luke, that the modern world runs on the internet, right? I think it's really unfair to expect someone to be able to participate in society in 2023 without high-speed internet access. I'm of the belief that it should be a public utility, but that's a conversation that we'll share, or that we'll save, excuse me, for a different day. The White House announced that the awarding of $42 billion to states and territories over the next 2 years in a push funded by the bipartisan infrastructure law, reflecting a national realization during the COVID pandemic that broadband is a modern-day necessity for education, business, and domestic life. I want to throw a Tammy Baldwin quote out. She said, "No matter where you live in the state, you deserve access to reliable high-speed broadband. These resources will help do that." And it's refreshing, Luke, to see the federal government saying what I basically just said, but a lot of young people have been saying for years, which is that internet should be a public utility because it is required. Now, it took COVID and home learning programs to be able to really put that in the forefront, I think, of a lot of American citizens' minds.
I think it put it all of a sudden at the forefront of the conversation, the public discourse surrounding internet. But I think that it was at the center of those families' lives that did not have access to high-speed internet. It was absolutely critical because they had to accommodate. In a world that it is so vital that they would have to go and already their life was going to the local library or a fast food restaurant to try to pick up on
the
public
library shout out.
Yeah,
we always do library shout outs here.
One of the ways that, to get internet if you do not have high speed internet access at your home, there were already accommodations that families were making, and we actually started having a conversation about it in the public discourse when the COVID-19 pandemic happened. But that was something that families were dealing with and going through before we actually started talking about it. And so the fact that there are now resources coming to address those problems that were illuminated throughout the pandemic, I think that that's a good thing to talk about. But at the same time, before COVID, Will, people were dealing with this problem. This isn't just
it's
like
not a
all
new problem,
right.
Certainly. I did not mean to imply that. I guess my point was more that once students were forced to learn from home, it really, you know, the teachers and let's say elected officials and the powers that be, when they were now recognizing how many students did not have access to high-speed internet and how it was going to directly harm their learning capabilities, it became an idea that, hey, we really need to do something about this. To defer to Senator Tammy Baldwin again, she stated that about 650,000 Wisconsinites lack access to broadband, and leaving them behind in the digital divide is absolutely unacceptable.
Yeah, and those are important quotes. We want to hear from you what better access to high-speed internet would mean for you in your life, if it would mean being able to better connect to the internet for education, for maybe starting a small business. You want to create jobs and become a business owner in your community, but you don't currently have that access to high-speed internet, and you're making do through some other plan. What would the expansion of high-speed internet mean to you in your life? We want to hear your stories. 844 967-2789. You can call or text here at Town Call. But we want to hear from you. What access, better access to high-speed internet would mean? Because there's going to be changes coming over the next 2 years because of this $1.1 billion that the federal government is going to invest in high-speed internet here in the state of Wisconsin. It's going to be a game changer, and we want to hear from you what it would mean in your life. Because again, this is something a lot of people take for granted. A lot of people have access to high-speed internet, and it's not something to think about. I think that there were plenty of teachers, as you alluded to, during the COVID-19 pandemic, that were like, oh, this could be easy. We just got to switch to online learning and
switch it to virtual. It'll be easy.
We'll right. go virtual for a couple of weeks, and we'll go from there. And then not realizing how many families had, how many students that they had in their classroom that couldn't have that access. And then there was scrambles for hotspots or coordinating the ability to get that information and those resources to students. That's huge, but it goes the same for work from home. If you were all of a sudden told during the COVID-19 pandemic that you had to work from home, you couldn't come into the office, and the office was the only place that you had high-speed internet, you could have been without a job. You would have had to scramble to figure out what was going on. And so,
and Luke, how then would you get a job? I'll use the old famous analogy of the middle-class parent who's like, just walk in there and hand them your job application and somebody will hire you. That world doesn't exist anymore. If you want to get a job, you are very likely going to have to either apply online or use an online company like a LinkedIn or a Indeed or one of these other job search programs. If you want to find a job in the modern world, it is very, very likely you will have to do it online because every organization uses the internet as their primary web into the company.
Yeah. And so if you've got a story about what better access to internet would mean for you, we want to hear it. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. This is Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. And Will, I think it's crucial to point out those numbers. 650,000 Wisconsinites without the access currently to broadband, and this $1.1 billion coming to the state to try to get high-speed internet to everyone across the state and reduce that number as close to zero as possible.
I think there was an interesting quote as well from White House Infrastructure Coordinator Mitch Landrieu, who called the announcement the largest ever investment in broadband service, comparing it to the rural electrification push of the 1930s, when around 90% of America's farm families had no electricity in their homes and barns. Expansion would be especially helpful in rural Wisconsin as more farmers use precision agriculture, relying on field sensors that can upload data in real time. He also noted that 253,000 homes and small businesses in Wisconsin specifically either had no high-speed internet access or lacked access to minimally acceptable speeds. I think the comparison to electricity is perfect, really, because that was like the technological jump of the time that really, really allowed productivity to skyrocket. And we have seen the same with the internet. And to deny rural America this same access for a country that's kind of predicated on meritocracy and the cream rising to the top and you know, the best survival of the fittest economically, you're putting so many individuals at a massive, massive disadvantage when they don't have access to the internet, which is, you know, the common marketplace that's shared by everyone. It's really going to be incredibly impactful for all of Wisconsinites, not just the rural Wisconsinites that are suffering. So we'd like to hear your stories on how broadband internet access could change your life, how it would improve your day-to-day situation. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. This is Town Call. We'll be right back after the break.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, the Devil's Advocates with Tom Ankrut. Then at 6, the Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News Now. I'm Derek Dennis. In New York City, former Marine Daniel Penny pleaded not guilty to charges related to the subway choking death of Jordan Neely last month. A grand jury indicted Penny with second-degree manslaughter and negligent homicide. Defense attorney Thomas Kenneth says his client was defending passengers after Neely reportedly acted aggressively towards subway riders.
All the evidence is that we've seen is that our client acted reasonably under the circumstances and that he was justified in the actions he took. However unfortunate the consequences.
Neely's family says he suffered from mental illness. President Biden, heading to Chicago to tout his policies, are helping with the economic recovery, especially the middle class and job growth, something the White House is calling Bidenomics. Severe storms moving across parts of the South and Upper Plains today with another threat of tornadoes and hail. Heavy smoke from the Canadian wildfires still a concern in the Midwest and Northeast. Chicago has the worst air quality in the world today. This is ABC News.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Well, it's a slight chance, but it's been rare this summer to have any chance of severe weather, and we've got that here in western Wisconsin this afternoon. Storms are expected to start from the north and west this afternoon and then move mostly east throughout the evening and overnight, with the main risks being hail and high winds. The DNR says the air quality in Wisconsin is the worst it's been in over a decade. An air quality advisory is in effect through noon tomorrow due to wildfire smoke from Canada. The air is currently unhealthy for everyone in most of the state, and when the air quality gets this low, the DNR says people should spend less time outdoors, especially children and those with health concerns. The city of Eau Claire is planning on creating a TIF district in the old Shopko Plaza. It's an effort to spur development on the southwest side of the city. Also, the Eau Claire City Council voted unanimously to replace the Dewey Street Bridge downtown, which is nearly a century old. The project would come with a $14.2 million price tag. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Walks, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks today, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks, GTWLawyers.com.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186.
All in to win, Gingras Thompson & Walks. GTWLawyers.com.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry
and Jane Mattenair.
Before I send boxes over, I have to take all of my things out. These boxes were interspersed with all sorts of things.
But who doesn't stuff their pants and their shoes into a box full of work documents to sort out later? Every time I leave a job, that's what I end up doing with my box of work papers. Bras go in there and just, you know, and I'll sort it out later.
As Goes Wisconsin, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, shoot us a text, 844-967-2789. I'm Will, that's Luke. We're talking broadband access in Wisconsin and the recent $1 billion investment that will be coming in. If you'd like to share how broadband internet access would change your life, or if you're opposed
If you've got a different point of view on the federal government investing $1.1 billion in broadband expansion here in Wisconsin, we want to hear those thoughts too. 844 877-267-2789.
So for our first caller, we're going to go to Judy from Racine. Judy, what are your thoughts?
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about that. The broadband is literally a lifesaver, you know, because all these electronic devices and your televisits, because they don't even have doctors in the rural areas, and any of those things that are connected up to the internet, they can't get it. I'm thinking more of a medical view on it.
Mm-hmm. No, and that makes perfect sense as well, particularly for rural Americans who there may not be a hospital for miles. There may not be a doctor in the near vicinity. The telecommunication visits are the only way that they're going to be able to see a medical provider.
Yeah, and I'm talking about certain devices that need to be hooked up to too, so they can go in and check whatever thing needs to be checked. That's all on the internet too.
Mm-hmm. Everything is. No, you're exactly right, Judy. Everything in the modern world revolves around the internet. And I think that's why this is so impactful. Now, there are arguments against, as Luke just mentioned, whether the federal government should be providing this or whether we should defer to private corporations. But Judy, in your life in particular, do you think this broadband access would monumentally improve your day-to-day life? Outside of just access to physicians or medical devices, how else would this broadband access be able to improve your day-to-day life?
Well, I'm living in a city. I really don't have a problem with it, but I grew up in a couple small towns, and that would definitely improve everybody's life. And I want to make a point. How long has the Republicans have been denying this? You know, they're, in my opinion, they are accomplices to all this. You know, the people getting illnesses and death. You know, and then finally they're getting it from the federal government, thank God. But I'm just think all these medical devices and all this information that goes back and forth medically wise. You know, so...
Yeah, those are absolutely really important points, Judy. And it is important to point out this is federal investment that is coming through the bipartisan infrastructure bill that was signed by President Biden. There was a request to put even more additional funds to speed up the process in this upcoming two-year state budget by the Evers administration, a $750 million investment that was zeroed out when the Republican-led Joint Finance Committee took on the Evers proposal. So no state funds coming towards broadband expansion here in the state of Wisconsin. It is telling that it is the federal government that is the entity that is making this investment and expanding access. And as Judy pointed out, there are plenty of areas in the state of Wisconsin where this all of a sudden is not a huge concern for you, because you are in a dense community. And those are the communities that, yes, the free market has, not for every community. There's still plenty of communities that only have one affordable internet provider. There's
the monopolization of the telecom industry is still a massive, massive issue, Luke. But we're going to have to defer that to another episode, because that's something that's going to get me riled up, and I'm going to start ranting here.
It's an important aspect to have in this conversation. But because of the map and these internet providers that didn't want to have the competition, they kind of carve out different areas. And so you're left with only one option in a densely populated area. But when you go out into more rural areas of the state of Wisconsin and around the country, you have a harder time finding internet, because the free market is just like, it costs too much to get the internet there. But this is a lifeline. It is a necessity for everybody now. As we've been talking about, everything is on the internet. You need the internet to be able to participate in modern life. And without an investment coming from this bipartisan infrastructure bill, it would be still roughly two-thirds of a million residents here in Wisconsin that are just left without this access. And so $1.1 billion coming in from the federal government, signed by the Biden administration, coming to expand broadband access here in the state of Wisconsin. We want to hear what that would mean for you. 844-967-2789. You can call us or text us here at Town Call.
Luke, so I'm going to provide now a little article that I dug up while we were having this conversation back from 2021 that noted a 6 years ago, Jeff Hallstrand, who lived in Price County at the time, appeared close to finally receiving a much needed boost in internet service. The federal government had announced that more than 129,000 homes and small businesses across rural Wisconsin were eligible for an upgrade under a $330 million grant awarded to broadband provider CenturyLink. Now, Jeff had he was both a county supervisor and he had worked for 30 years for CenturyLink, as well as another internet company before branching out to start his own engineering business. At the time, however, at his home in the town of, I believe it's pronounced Ojima, O-G-E-M-A, he had speeds not much better than a dial-up modem from the 1990s. Well, 6 years later, nothing had changed. The grant left it up to CenturyLink to pick which locations to upgrade, and Jeff got nothing. The internet at his place today was still installed 20 years ago. So while we do agree that broadband access is a necessity, I think the question, as we have noted, would be, do we rely on the federal government to do this, or do we rely on private entities to do it? However, here's a direct example of the federal government relying on private entities and the private entities taking advantage of the situation. I'd love to hear what you think, people of Wisconsin. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. We got Carol from Madison on the line. Carol, what are your thoughts?
Well, this is a little related, but I find it really ironic that the Republicans in this state want to rely on the federal government for funding internet broadband and some other things in the budget, and that's why they zeroed out any state investment in these things. But they won't rely on the federal government to increase the medical funding in terms of taking the federal dollars for expanding health care. It's just kind of nuts.
Or, you know, you can talk rail service, too, if you want to go back to the Scott Walker, the Scott Walker era. It's it seems to be a pick and choose where they apply that the we will accept federal grants situation.
Yep. Total hypocrisy, per usual. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Carol. And it is a pretty telling aspect of well, this problem's getting solved elsewhere. We don't have to do anything for it. We'll take that money and cut taxes instead. And so it is an interesting dynamic, but it's not a Republican or Democrat issue. Everybody uses the internet. Having broadband access is, as Will's pointed out, in some people's eyes, as important as having a gas line or an electric line to your house. It is practically a utility in today's modern world. And to be able to just say, we're not going to try to get this problem solved as quickly as we possibly can, is an interesting dynamic. So I think if there's individuals out there that are represented by members of the Joint Finance Committee, because we've been told now from the Associated Press that the State Senate and State Assembly are going to take up the version of the budget that the JFC passed last week. There's not going to be any major changes coming through the floor sessions that are anticipated, the State Senate tomorrow, the State Senate later today, the Assembly tomorrow. I'm having a hard time remembering that it's Wednesday, Will, but we're going to get
there. Maybe it's the smoke in the air, Luke.
It might be the smoke.
N95?
I have a mask here in the studio, so I have not been wearing them yet, but I think I've also just been limiting the amount of time I've spent outside. But the fact that the Joint Finance Committee's budget is going to be what gets passed, you should be calling up the Joint Finance Committee and asking why is it not a greater priority for you to expand access to broadband internet here in the state of Wisconsin? Because these are federal funds. These are not state funds coming in to address them. I think Carol makes an interesting point about what funds get accepted where when it comes to solving these problems. Because there's plenty of people, Joint Finance Committee co-chairman, State Senator Howard Markline, out in the Driftless region. I'm sure there's plenty of his residents that would be benefit from this expansion, getting broadband to them quicker. The other co-chair, Mark Bourne, out of Beaver Dam. I'm sure that there's plenty of residents in Mark Bourne's district that could have improved access to high-speed internet. And so for individuals on that joint committee to just say, we're going to zero out the state funds, we're not going to try to solve this problem as quickly as possible, they should be asked why. Because we're seeing these
funds... I think it's a dereliction of duty. I mean, I've made it perfectly clear. I truly believe internet is a public utility and is a necessity in the modern era. I like how you noted, Luke, that it's not a right versus left thing. Reading from the JS Online piece from 2021, remember that in 2004, President George W. Bush called for affordable high-speed internet access for all Americans by 2007, saying it was essential to the nation's economic growth. In 2010, President Barack Obama promoted a national broadband plan as part of the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. This 360-page plan outlined 208 recommendations. And in 2019, President Donald Trump unveiled a $20 billion rural digital opportunity fund, saying that farmers, quote, just haven't been treated properly, unquote, when it comes to internet access. This is not right versus left. This is American citizens demanding access to the modern internet, which is kind of the marketplace, not just of ideas, but everything. Everything in the country revolves around the internet. It is the public square. And to prevent people living in rural communities from having high-speed access to this same communal square that the rest of us have access to, it's putting them at a massive disadvantage.
We want to hear what you think about high-speed internet expansion here in the state of Wisconsin. $1.1 billion coming over the next 2 years thanks to the bipartisan infrastructure bill signed by the Biden administration. 844-967-2789. Tell us what it would mean for you. We got Mark and Prairie du Sac calling in. Mark, what would high-speed internet access and expansion mean for you out in Prairie du Sac?
Well, I actually have pretty good internet access right now, but what I can't help but think about the people like in, for example, Southwest Wisconsin, who have, that don't have, it's difficult to have, because of the topography there, they have a difficult time with cell towers even there. I mean, that the fact that Scott Walker and the Republicans have refused since 2010 they refused back then to take the $25 million that was offered back then. How much more progress could we make if we would have accepted the money back then? How much more progress could we make if the Republicans would have accepted the $750 million that Tony Evers put in his budget to increase, to speed up the process for high-speed internet? After all, that's less than $130 per citizen of this state to invest in the people. Invest in a public utility, as you guys have mentioned today. The public utility now.
It's to that level now, yes.
If we get that going.
Yeah, it's impossible to tell, Mark, how far things could have been now if we had taken those.
You can play the
funds,
what if game all day.
What if is a very difficult question to answer, but we know that over the next 2 years, $1.1 billion coming into the state to further expand access to high-speed internet, 650,000 Wisconsin residents currently without it. We want to know what that expansion would mean to you. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We're going to continue on over at the phone lines coming back. If you've got a suggestion for a topic that you'd like for us to cover on Town Call, send us an email, towncall@civicmedia.us. We're going to continue this conversation when we get back.
Summer has finally arrived in Wisconsin, and it's time to make your brand shine. Become a weather sponsor in the month of June and take advantage of a very special offer. Buy one weather sponsorship for just $75 and get a second sponsorship free. Yup, FOGO. That's 20 ads per day for 2 days every hour. This weather sponsorship buy one, get one offer absolutely ends on June 30th. Call now, 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. It's FOGO. 608-949-8989.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Why a RICO charge, counselor? What's that mean to the layperson?
It was written for Organized Crime, Racketeer Influenced and Corrupt Organizations Act. That's where RICO comes from. The notion that you've got an entity whose purpose is to try to perpetuate some crime. It's more than just a singular event. It is a composite of kind of a corporate conspiracy doing things toward this illegal end.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Here's your updated forecast. Scattered thunderstorms likely this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies expected. High of 80, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast tonight. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Lows dip down to about 63. Partly cloudy tomorrow. Scattered thunderstorms likely. Daytime highs approaching 85. Temperatures above average Friday and Saturday with highs in the mid-80s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 80.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 12:15, Town Call. 1 p.m., The Todd Alba Show. 3 to 4, Matt Flynn directs WLAK.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. We are talking broadband rural access. We're going to go back to the phone lines. We got Kathleen from Beaver Dam. Kathleen, what are your thoughts?
Company out of Green Bay, Wisconsin, that has been doing rural internet for about 15 years. I think about 17 years. I started with them about 15 years ago as a sales rep. I was instrumental in bringing Bud Kessel to our Dodge County, where I live. And what I've seen over the years, and this is just a casual observation, is that all the millions of dollars that the very big legacy companies have been getting, that would be CenturyLink, Frontier, and AT&T, have not been directed toward expansion of rural internet in the rural areas. There are other companies like Bertram and Networks and Bugs Hustle that are small companies that are bringing that to the rural areas. There's a lot of places we can't get because our towers require line of sight. But now Bugs Hustle is laying fiber in some of those areas. And I just don't think there's any watchdog. The legacy companies are getting the money. They're the big dogs in the industry, and they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing with it.
Exactly. They're just pocketing it. And I guess that comes down to the heart of the question is how do we ensure oversight for a lot of these companies? Yeah, you've seen it firsthand, Kathleen. So what would be your solution then? How do you think we could better make sure that our public tax dollars that we are investing is going towards what it's supposed to be going towards?
There has to be a watchdog. There has to be a watchdog in government. When you give out that money, before you give out that money, the legacy companies should be submitting a plan on where they're going to expand. And if their expansion is not in rural areas that is not currently served by a high-speed internet option, then they don't get the money. Or they have to pull back on the money. They've got lobbyists and.
Yeah, just saying, trust us, we'll figure it out because we're the big dogs in the internet service providers, I don't think is an acceptable way. And I agree, Kathleen. I think that they're having some sort of oversight or watchdog or regulation, but all of a sudden you start using those words and then you get people that are like, oh no, we can't have any of that. But then you see this problem.
No government red tape.
Yeah, you see this problem where the money is being accepted and believed to be addressing a problem that goes then still unaddressed. We really appreciate that contribution, Kathleen. We also got a texter from the 612 up in the Minneapolis area saying that if we follow the rural electric model, then rural co-ops should be created to install and maintain the lines, and that the co-op would be able to negotiate the links into the internet, just as power co-ops can buy and sell power nationwide. And that brings in an interesting check and balance.
I like that idea a lot.
It doesn't have to be a regulation to ensure if you create a community co-op that would be able to compete for delivering a rural broadband to these communities, that would also that competition through the belief of a free market and competition would provide better oversight and create at least a little bit more of accountability when it comes to having these broadband lines get rolled out. We want to hear your thoughts here on Town Call for broadband expansion. 844-967-2789. You can call or text. You can be like Kurt here in Madison. Kurt, what are your thoughts?
Well, I think if we really look at the root cause of this, this is a standard operating procedure of Republicans. As long as there's a Democrat in the governor's seat, their mental attitude is, regardless if it's federal money or state money, they're going to deny the governor everything that they can possibly deny, and they do not care who gets hurt in the process. And I would even go further that, yeah, we have this problem. It's no one wants to play nice anymore, and it's nasty politics. But I'm going to keep saying this over and over again. When the Republicans in these rural areas start getting their head out of the dirt and start realizing how they've been shut down and conned and lied, this will continue forever. It'll never change.
Well, and I think, Kurt, that's a good point as to why broadband access is so important for rural communities, is a lot of them don't have access to all of the sources of information that the rest of us do. Perhaps they're getting all their information from cable news or from a specific radio program that's the only one that they have the ability to listen to. The internet opens up millions of different avenues of information, of attaining information. And once you have the ability to break through the veil that's kind of been placed on some of these rural communities, I think we're going to start seeing a massive shift in the narrative around these communities as well.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the phone call, Kurt. You could be like Kurt, or you could be like Richard on the road in Green Bay. Richard, what are your thoughts on high-speed internet expansion here in the state of Wisconsin?
There's pros and cons to all this expansion with the internet. Older generation, they don't like it. It's too impersonal. The newer generation, they love it, right? So how do you mix all that? I thought, why don't the free enterprise people have a separate entity, and then you take a percentage of the revenue that's coming in, and whether you call it a tax, a fee, or whatever it is, and you set up an independent agency that takes that money and develops the area. That's good for future business. It's good for the future of the next generation, and the older generation also reaps the benefit of it.
Without some kind of enforcement mechanism, Richard, do you think the corporations, the internet service providers, those giants that as we've discussed, are they going to do that on their own volition? Or how do you get something like that implemented is really the big question there. Because
if they win, right, if they want to stay in business and still make money off of what they're providing, they'll do it. Obviously, you know, right now they're focusing on the larger picture, but as you tweak the market and you want more profits, then you're going to expand out. But if you get ahead of time, you can set up that agency to just take that money and keep on expanding. And that way, it's not a big expense for a single entity, whether it's the government or a certain like Facebook or whoever else is using the internet. It's not all a burden on one. But there's a small fee or a small tax that just goes straightly for development.
It's an interesting It's an interesting thought, Richard. We appreciate the phone call. We appreciate the contribution to Town Call today. tons of terrific callers. We appreciate all of the callers on this Wednesday edition of Town Call. Again, if you've got a suggestion for a topic that you'd like us to cover here on Town Call, send us an email. Follow us on social media. Drop us a comment, concern, question there as well. Town Call WI on Twitter and Facebook. Town Call at civicmedia.us. Will, it's always great to talk to you on a Wednesday.
Hey, stay safe out there, people. Keep your kids and pets inside.
We'll be back tomorrow. Talk to y'all then.
Peace out, party people.
Welcome to the Main Street Cafe. You are in Bloomer, a few miles north of Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin. A small town, 3,000 people. But there are big things happening at the cafe.
Every year, on the average of about 150,000
pies. 150,000
pies
and more than 65 varieties made, sold, and enjoyed here. But can you guess which is the most popular pie choice in Wisconsin? Apple, cherry, or pumpkin? The answer coming up.
Most of it's made by hand. The taste, the flavor. We use real Wisconsin dairy products.
Real dairy products, including free ice cream on your pie and free refills of milk. It's something cafe owner Donnie Stoik likes to brag about.
Our horn like to toot. We do that every day, not just during June.
As we wrap up our celebration of June Dairy Month, did you guess? Cherry pie is the Wisconsin favorite, according to Instacart. Now we want to know yours and who makes it. Go to our Civic Media Facebook page to share your answers. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air,
WLAK 1260 AM Amory,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.